If you like this show and want to make your own, let me tell you about Anchor. Number one, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. Now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are endless for what you can create, whether it's music analysis, your own radio show, or something the world's never heard before. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other platforms. You can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So it turns out, it's everything you need to make a podcast, all in one place. All you have to do is download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. In today's session, we are discussing hacking the DNA of humanity with blockchain and artificial intelligence. Hacking the DNA of humanity with blockchain and AI. What this article addresses can already be found prophesied in the sacred text of the Bible. Yeshua HaMashiach said, "It will be as it was in the days of Noah." He specifically said that as a major clue and a major key. So what you need to do is find out, research, investigate just what was taking place in the days of Noah. Why would Yeshua say something like this? Now, without getting into a big, large theological dissertation, Genesis chapter 6 addresses some details specifically concerning Noah and his people. Now, the scripture clearly says that Noah was found to be perfect in his generation. However, this is an English translation, perfect. But in Hebrew, it is tamim. And tamim is a reference to physical purity, without blemish, without genetic alteration. Pure pedigree. So what Genesis chapter 6 is letting us know from the Hebrew text is clearly that everyone else in the earth had corrupted their genetic material, their genome. Their genome was corrupted, altered, via Nephilim technology, fallen watcher technology, fallen angel technology, B'nai HaElohim, the fallen sons of God, the rogue sons of God, the sons of God who disobeyed divine order and broke rank with spiritual equilibrium. They are the ones who initiated the sons of men into esoteric occult arcane sciences. They are the ones who brought about the concept of altering and destroying the fabric of what God made in the beginning. They are the ones who introduced sorcery, witchcraft, divination, and taught the mysteries of the heavens, but in a corrupt format, which led to the worship of the stars, the worship of the sun, moon, and stars, the deification of superhuman beings called the Gibarim, which were the children and offspring of the Nephilim and the daughters of men. The daughters of men were taken by the Nephilim and by the Bnei HaElohim, raped, in every other thing that you can possibly imagine and maybe can't imagine. But the bottom line is, their offspring were the men of renown. They were called Gibarim. The Greeks called them, in their mythological literature, which is a reference to historical events that took place that were codified in story format and passed down through oral traditions, the Greeks called them gigantes and called them the titans and called them the Olympian gods. The Greeks made reference to anthropomorphized gods and their offspring, the demigods, which is where the worship of gods and goddesses come from. The Egyptians, also left in hieroglyphical format, pictorial stories of these same type of events. The Sumerians also did the same. The Babylonians also did the same. The Aztec and Mayans also did the same. The original Americans have the same stories in their historical annals and in their oral traditions. The South Americans, aboriginal, have the same. The people in Easter Island have the same. So, why am I breaking all this down? Because all this ties into what we are doing again. Now, the only superior text that breaks this down in essence is the Bible, the basic instructions before leaving Earth, a divine software program called the Torah, which is called the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, or the Pentateuch. It breaks these things down in detail in Hebrew and Aramaic. It makes it clear that there is a divine group of entities that came and visited man illegally and initiated them into spiritual arts that corrupted their consciousness. And shortly after these initiations, violence began to increase exponentially in the earth. The thoughts of mankind begin to change. Nature was altered. 100%, everything was altered. Everything was corrupted. The genome was corrupted. Now, I could go 1,000 levels deeper into why this took place, but we're not going to go there because that would become a theological dissertation and an esoteric enucleation of the book of Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 6. But the bottom line is, the key, the reason I'm breaking this down is because Yeshua said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So it is necessary that I expound on what Yeshua said concerning us returning to the activities of the days of Noah, even though I cannot do it in this session because we would have to go too far into depth. But the bottom line is, the earth was being terraformed. Violence, robbery, degradation, spiritual corruption, witchcraft, sorcery, ceremonial magic, cannibalism, corruption of the genome, and everything of the like was taking place in the days of Noah, which is the reason why the flood was mandated. Now, I guess I might as well go there. After the flood took place and wiped out all of those who had corrupted themselves and preserved those who didn't, Yahweh made a promise to Noah that I would no longer destroy the earth again by water. And as a sign of this covenant made between Yahweh and Noah, Yahweh presented the rainbow as a sign and token of the covenant between him and Noah. Today, this rainbow has been taken and also has been corrupted. Now today, we already know the biblical presentation of the rainbow is connected to a divine covenant between God and Noah. But today, the rainbow has been taken to mean and represent the LGBTQ whatever movement. The rainbow has come to represent that which the Bible considers to be corruption. Now, you cannot take a rainbow and steal it from the Bible and repurpose it for your organization and movement. That's just simple theft. And that's exactly what we're dealing with here today. Because clearly the rainbow does not represent your organization, does not represent your company, does not represent your philosophy. It does not represent your ideology. The rainbow's first spotlight moment is in a sacred ancient text that outdates all of you, all of us. The biblical text of Genesis chapter 6 was written before anyone here present on earth today was born. Period. Across the board. So clearly the rainbow does not represent what we've corrupted and turned it into. Clearly the scriptures have communicated to the world and to the earth and to the lexicographers and to the linguist and to the spiritual priest and to the other mundane or layman readers what the intent and purpose behind the rainbow is. The rainbow was connected to judgment. The rainbow was connected to judgment. I'm going to say it again. The rainbow was connected to judgment. It was a sign that the judgment was complete. The purification of the earth was complete, at least what needed to be done in order for us to start off with a clean slate without all the corruption from the fallen angel technology and from an earth full of corrupted genomes. So we're going to take some time dealing with this before I jump into this article. Because the whole point, the whole issue in the book of Genesis chapter 6 is corruption of the genome. That's what it's all about. The whole thing is about the corruption of your DNA. Because the DNA contains information and data and signatures from the Creator. Instructions on what is to be created, what is to be formulated, and what its function is to be, and how it is to synchronize with nature in order for you to be able to continue as an entity living and breathing and vibrating in nature. When you start altering and changing and rearranging and poisoning the DNA, you are changing and forging a different signature other than the one that God programmed into it. And the last time this was done, it led to the end of the world. I'm gonna say it again. The last time the genome was corrupted and played with and manipulated and changed and experimented with, it brought about the end of the world as it was. They were wiped out by a flood that every ancient civilization has a record of in their subconscious, in their records and histories and cuneiform tablets, stone hieroglyphics. They've left the message everywhere. It's not a figment of anyone's imagination. It's not a fairy tale. It is a concept and the remembrance of an event that has been preserved all over the entire world. So, and for those who want to look deeper into why these types of stories echo all throughout civilizations going back 5,000 years up to the present, the story just keeps repeating itself, and it matches and synchronizes with what is written in the Old Testament program. Dr. Emmanuel Velikovsky, you can study his works to find out more. Read his book, Worlds in Collision. You want to get into some psychoanalytical research on why these themes are echoing and vibrating and reverberating throughout the subconscious mind of different civilizations, not contradicting one another, just differing in style and format, yet communicating the same exact message. God destroyed the world with a flood once before. And the reason he did it was because of wickedness, evil, corruption, disobedience to divine order. That's why he did it. And even more so, it was because a promise was made about one who would come and save the people. That would be the Mashiach, whom the Muslims call the Mahdi. And as a matter of fact, every religion on earth has some form of a Messiah that they're talking about is coming. Even one lady tried to write a book called The 16 Saviors, even though none of them are saviors. The only one who brought about a true program of salvation is Yeshua HaMashiach. He even died on a place called Golgotha, which is, the meaning is, the place of the skull. Because where is the disease that is within man? It is in your mind. The head controls the body. The body follows the head. But if the head be sick, then where does that leave the rest of your body? What can you produce with a sick mind that is salubrious and beneficial to the world around you? Now, the scriptures clearly says that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind every single day, because you need it. Purification is necessary. The same way one must wash his body in order to be clean and smell good and not be repulsive to those who are around him, so it must also be done with your mind. So it must also be done with your soul. You don't want to give off and emit dirt and dissonance. We are energetic beings. We are energetic creatures. We are multifaceted. We possess a spirit. We have a soul. We have an astral body. We have a causal body. We have a mental body. We have an etheric vehicle that is within the body. And lastly, we have the dense vehicle, which is the flesh, the sarks, the goof, the body, flesh and blood. The scripture clearly says, I pray that you prosper in your spirit, your soul, and in your temple, which is your body, which is called the tabernacle. Anyway, the bottom line to keep things on track is, let's just simplify everything that I've said thus far. The bottom line is, one of the major keys concerning what was taking place in the days of Noah was the corruption of the human and animal genome. Who brought about this type of corruption? The scriptures clearly says the Nephilim, which in Hebrew is the root of Nephilim is Nephal. Nephal in Hebrew means to fall. Now, the Sumerians made reference to the Anunnaki or the Anunnaki. But the term Anunnaki means those who from heaven came down to earth, which is what the Hebrew term Nephilim means. Those who from heaven came down to earth, the Nephilim. And what happened when they came down to earth? Illegally. Breaking ranks with spiritual equilibrium and with their orders that they were given. Well, they went amongst the sons of men. They corrupted themselves and in turn corrupted the sons of men. The sons of men's minds were not prepared or suited or fit to receive the types of information, meta-celestial information that they were given by these fallen entities. Therefore, the information corrupted mankind and caused mankind to go even farther away from spiritual, psychological, physiological equilibrium. As a result, the earth was filled with Hamas. Hamas in Hebrew means violence. Men began to do that which was not suitable for the earth or suitable for himself. Men begin to abuse one another, kill one another, slaughter one another, kill and abuse animals and slaughter animals inhumanely and against nature. They even corrupted nature itself. This is where we are again today. Everything we are doing today that we think is some form of modernism is nothing but a return to the activities of those who were in the book of Genesis chapter 6 in the days of Noah. All these technologies have exploded and apparently have emerged mysteriously out of nowhere, but they haven't. These are all old technologies resurfacing again. Why? Because the scripture says, in those days, the Nephilim were on the earth before the flood and also afterwards. Also afterwards, which means some of the Nephilim survived the flood. Now, that is where I'm going to leave it. The bottom line is we are returning to the activities that were being done in the days of Noah that brought about the first destruction of the earth. And now here we are at it again. We are genetically altering our food. We are genetically altering ourselves. We are talking about creating designer babies. We are talking about moving towards transhumanism. We are talking about moving towards human augmentation. We are talking about moving towards the dissolution of the body and the convergence of the body with machines. We are talking about brain-computer interface technology. We are talking about saving the soul on a microchip. We are talking about creating eternal life through technology. We are talking about creating a caste system that includes those who are advanced and augmented versus those who are not, who are to be isolated and left out of society and eventually exterminated and depopulated. That is what we are talking about here. This is what we are moving towards. This is what the United Nations, the World Health Organization, the RAND Corporation, the Brookings Institute, RUSI, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the World Economic Forum, every NGO, non-governmental organization, and other think tanks and other institutions of higher learning, they're all on board with moving towards a Nephilim type society, a Nephilim influenced society. That is what we are moving towards. Now, bear with me, we're just brainstorming in this session. I'm just talking off the top of my head of what I've read in great detail, of what I've analyzed and ingested in great detail. It's funny though that every single thing that the world has put out as so-called initiatives does nothing but fall right back into the confines of the blueprint of the Bible, of biblical prophecy. So we are talking about corruption that was found in Genesis chapter 6. We were talking about Yeshua saying that if the days be not shortened for the elect, no flesh would survive. No flesh would remain. What does he mean by no flesh will survive and remain? Well, what are we doing now with flesh? We are starting to corrupt it. We are starting to change it and rearrange it and genetically alter it and experiment with it and inject it with all types of foreign messenger RNA and complementary DNA. We are recreating in our own image the babies of the future. We're talking about altering their eye color. We're talking about turning genes on and turning genes off and injecting them with this advanced, enhanced genetic sequence and code. And we don't know what the long-term effects are, but we're moving forward with it anyway. We're talking about implanting subdermal chips in people. We're talking about putting Wi-Fi inside of the body. We're talking about putting Bluetooth inside of the body. We're talking about setting up systems of radio frequency ID inside of the body biomedically through graphene oxide and reduced graphene oxide. We're talking about building self-assembling nanobots within the body that turn into antennas and connect to the IoT, the Internet of Things, and help to bring about the fourth industrial revolution. That's what we're talking about here. That's what the medical papers are talking about. That's what the medical journals are talking about. That's what the World Economic Forum is talking about. Now you know. And once again, like I said, it all synchronizes with the prophecies in the book of Daniel. It all synchronizes with what the prophet said in the book of Revelation. It all synchronizes with what the prophet Moses laid down in the book of Genesis. It all synchronizes with the Bible. It all synchronizes with the Torah, the instructions, the Nevi'im, the prophets, the Ketuvim, the writings, the Berith HaKadoshah, the New Testament, which reflects the Old Testament. The New Testament is the Old Testament unveiled. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed to be decoded and broken down through spiritual discernment and spiritual analysis. Anyway, let us move on. Because it turned into a micro theological dissertation, an esoteric session. But it's necessary. Some people will not be able to follow. That's fine. If you can't follow, then you're not meant to follow. But for those who want to put two and two together and understand why we are mysteriously moving towards this beast system at lightning speeds. If you want to understand why ID 2020 is actually being fulfilled, even though we're in 2021, ID 2020 is about giving everyone some form of digital identification. Well, we have learned through reading numerous research papers that anyone who receives any of these COVID-19 gene serums and gene therapeutics, in fact, is participating in a digital identification program, because the shot contains 98% graphene oxide as part of the constituents or part of the constitution of what's in the vial. Graphene oxide is an unlisted ingredient. It's a trade secret. But that trade secret happens to be the ingredient that successfully brings about you being identified remotely. Because the graphene, once inside of you, can be accessed remotely via electromagnetic frequencies and radio frequencies and UHF, ultra high frequencies. It's a very deep situation, what's taking place right now, but what's taking place right now is 100% on track for moving you towards the beast infrastructure. Now let us break this down. Hacking the DNA of humanity with blockchain and AI, written by Dennis Guarda. Now I'm going to try to move through this as fast as possible because we had an extremely long introduction. But the introduction prepares us for what this article is about to communicate to you about what we're doing with deoxyribonucleic acid, with DNA. What we're doing with the software of life, as the chief science officer over at Moderna said, which happens to be 100% correct. Can't disagree. So let us jump into this piece. Hacking the DNA of humanity with blockchain and AI. DNA, the famous double helix carrying the genetic instructions used in the growth, development, functioning, and reproduction of all living beings, is fundamentally the critical way of storing the biosphere. Let me say that again. DNA, the famous double helix carrying the genetic instructions used in the growth, development, functioning, and reproduction of all living beings, is fundamentally the critical way of storing the biosphere, and as part of it, all of humanity's information. It is the foundation of life as we scientifically know it. Conventionally, it gathers and encodes instructions for making living things, but it can be encrypted for other purposes and evolve according to its organic nature and evolutionary programming. Scientists and technologists from all kinds of subjects, as they deepen their understanding of its engineering, are adopting the biological DNA to store what seemed unimaginable some years ago, such as they're storing books, recordings, gifts, and even planning things such as an Amazon gift card on DNA. In a pioneer experiment, Yaniv Erlich and Dina Zelinsky from the New York Genome Center and Columbia University encoded in a single gram of DNA. Let me start over again. In a pioneer experiment, Yaniv Erlich and Dina Zelinsky from the New York Genome Center and Columbia University encoded in a single gram of DNA, one of the first films ever made. Lumiere Brothers, the arrival of a train at La Ciotat station, along with a computer operating system, a photo, a scientific paper, a computer virus, and an Amazon gift card. Their new strategy was inspired by the codecs that allow movies to stream reliably across the internet. They were thus able to safely store the digital files into tiny small amounts of DNA. Blockchain technology, and particularly artificial intelligence, are directly and indirectly DNA foundational technologies. Somehow, they can be seen as macro concepts of a database, operating in a very similar way to biological DNA. Plus, there are now various experiments using artificial intelligence to manipulate biological DNA. The United States is currently trying to sequence the DNA of at least 1 million Americans to pave the way for precision medicine, which concerns the development of treatments that are specifically adapted to an individual's genes. As technology and data come to the forefront as the very fabric of our human socio-economic and scientific civilization, we are faced with new challenges. How can we store and protect our DNA? How can we store and protect our human DNA? What happens if someone with bad intentions hacks humanity's DNA? So here we have it, they're talking about making precision medicines based on your DNA genome, your genetic genome sequence. So it is only natural that we assume, logically, that these things can also be used as genetic weaponry. They can make a precise medicine that is specifically targeted at your DNA. So what we are talking about is the development of a technologically advanced scientific dystopian dystopian dictatorship. That is what is being constructed right now. Anyway, let us move on. Worldwide scientists and researchers based in universities and research labs are digitizing human and animal DNA at a scale and speed never seen before. But the scientists working at the forefront of these programs don't tend to consider the dangers of hacking and other breaches in security. There is a lack of awareness around best practices for digital security. According to recent surveys, most programs for analyzing DNA have relatively relaxed security standards. Unfortunately, hacking DNA with bad intentions is now becoming a real risk, as certain recent experiments have demonstrated. In 2017, a team of scientists from the University of Washington managed to take over a computer by encoding malware into a gene and used this to take over a computer program. The team was led by Tadayoshi Kono, a computer security expert. Kono and his team had been designing computer security projects for over a decade. In 2008, they worked on another project where they used wireless technology to hack a heart. I'll say that again. In 2008, they worked on another project where they used wireless technology to hack a heart implant and reprogram it to either shut down or to deliver debilitating jolts. 2 years later, in 2010, they were able to hack into the control system of a Chevy Impala, taking control of the car. More recently, they became interested in designing projects concerning DNA sequencing. In an interview for The Atlantic, Kono explains the function of his last project. He says, "We want to understand and anticipate what the hot new technologies will be over the next 10 to 15 years. To stay one step ahead of the bad guys, it's an emerging field that other security researchers haven't looked at. So the intrigue was there," says Kono. He continues, "Could we compromise a computer system with DNA biomolecules? My hope is that over the next 5 to 10 years, people take a strong interest in DNA security and proactively harden their systems against adversarial threats, or in other words, satanic threats." The experiment worked in the following way. The team introduced a vulnerability into a program that's commonly used to analyze DNA data files and then exploited that weakness. The team also showed that such vulnerabilities are common in software for analyzing DNA. What they discovered is that it is now possible to steal data or manipulate it to make it seem like people have genetic diseases that they don't have. So, if we can do that, then I think we've just dismantled the entire COVID testing and diagnosis hoax in a single sentence. Because we already know that PCR testing is being discontinued as of December 31st, 2021. That was declared a month ago. And it's being discontinued because it is highly inaccurate and can be made to say whatever the technician wants it to say. All you have to do is turn up the revolutions. All you have to do is increase the number of cycles. So, why are we still using it? And what this also means is that in turn, going backwards, everyone that has ever done a PCR testing has received a fraudulent, false, inaccurate reading, whether it be positive or negative. Because it is not made to determine whether or not you have COVID-19, period. Anyway, let us move on. How can we secure humanity's DNA? Going forward is all about cybersecurity, particularly the one involving DNA, the very fabric of human and biological life, the biggest challenge we are currently facing. How can we secure or cybersecure our very own DNA and that of the society? The strands of biological DNA are made from four building blocks, represented by the structures and letters A, C, G, and T, which happen to be adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thymine. As these letters can be used to represent the ones and zeros of computer programs, this becomes a bigger step toward our very definition of digitalization and full-scale digital transformation of society and human health. Lifestyle and socioeconomic models will also be affected by this. Going forward is all about cybersecurity, particularly the one involving DNA, the very fabric of human and biological life. The biggest challenge we are currently facing is how do we secure our DNA and secure the DNA of society as a whole? Now, the strands of biological DNA are made from four building blocks, represented by the structures and letters A, C, G, and T, adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thymine. As these letters can be used to represent the ones and zeros of computer programs, this becomes a bigger step toward our very definition of digitalization and full-scale digital transformation of society and human health, lifestyle, and socioeconomic models. That's what the Scientific Washington research team did. They managed to convert a piece of malware into physical DNA strands. When those structural strands were sequenced, the malware launched and compromised the computer that was analyzing the sequences, allowing the team to take control of it and, of course, manipulate it. This is a quantum leap into the way we can look at new challenges and opportunities coming our way from these increasingly complex operations. The technology for DNA manipulation and precision medicine is for now at an inception stage, so they say. So the threats it poses are still very small. People don't need to lose sleep immediately, but there is the risk as the process evolves and the access to more computer power becomes widespread, that people with wrong ethical standpoints can become a serious threat by way of being drawn to use these technologies for ill intentions. As technologists and scientists using blockchain and AI technology have more advanced knowledge on how to store, safeguard, and manipulate big amounts of data and how to relate with global databases. We will have new increasing scenarios of dystopian possibilities, but also at the same time, we will have knowledge of ways to know what is possible to prevent those possibilities and what are the issues at stake down the line.